New Zealand, a three-day weekend may soon become the new norm. Perpetual Garden is an advisory firm, and it's allowing its employees to work 4 days a week while being paid for five. The company's saying productivity has actually increased.
Amazon just announced that they are raising the company minimum wage to $15 an hour for all full-time, part-time, temp, and seasonal workers just in time for the holidays.
Aston Martin races onto global markets Wednesday. Shares in the British sports car brand making their debut on the London Stock Exchange. The sale values Aston at about $5.6 billion. That's a little down on the company's original target. Reuters' Dasha Afanasieva says investors wonder whether Aston can deliver on its promises.
On the one hand, investors really backed the management of the company and were impressed by it. On the other, they were worried about the execution risk of the models that Aston Martin has got in the pipeline.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's October 3rd, 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for being here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've put together a pretty good broadcast for you today. Andrea Brown Taylor will be here first off this morning, the online editor at Kiplinger's. Do you often go to Target thinking you're going to pick up one or two items and then leave with an entire cartload full of stuff? Andrea has pulled together some tips from savings experts. Did you know there are those savings experts that will help us save some money and shop smarter when we hit Target? That'll be in our first segment this morning. In our second segment, we'll talk more about the pay raise that Amazon employees are going to get, up to $15. The question today is why this move now? Is it more for employees or maybe a business move against Walmart? Michael Farron will be here from the Mercatus Center. That'll be at about 5:40 this morning. First, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. With markets in Europe generally mixed, the FTSE is up just about 9 points, just a fraction this morning. The DAX in Germany is off almost a half a percent, down 51 points. In France, markets are up just a fraction. In Asia, markets are generally lower. The Nikkei going to end the day down about a half a percent, 159 points. The Hang Seng down just a fraction. The Shanghai is up about a percent this morning. And here in the United States, futures are pointing toward opening gains a little bit later on Wall Street. The opening bell expected to be in the green this morning with the Dow up about 52 points. The S&P up about a quarter percent. The NASDAQ is up about a quarter percent with crude oil trading at $75.24 a barrel. And that is up just about a penny this morning. Couple of stories this morning. A group of investors planning a comeback for Toys R Us in the latest twist for the troubled toy giant. The group made up of secured lenders said yesterday it's scrapping an auction for intellectual property assets because it didn't receive any bids that were better than its own. The investors say they'll work with potential partners to develop new ideas for stores in the United States and other countries that could bring back the iconic brands in a new, reimagined way, they say. The reorganized company will control trademarks, e-commerce assets, and data related to Toys R Us and Babies R Us brands. Toys R Us liquidated its U.S. businesses earlier this year after filing for Chapter 11 reorganization following a leveraged buyout that hobbled the company. This morning, vehicle report sales being digested, sales slowing down despite a big run on big SUVs. Major automakers yesterday said their U.S. sales fell 7% in September and 4% for the June through September quarter. Compared with the same period last year, weaker numbers for September in the third quarter wiped out a 1.8% gain during the first half of the year and left auto sales on pace with 2017. Some analysts had cautioned that the first half gains were driven by incentives and low margin sales to fleet buyers like rental car companies. And a new government study says that one in three U.S. adults eats fast food on any given day. That's about 85 million people. It's the first federal study to look at how often adults eat fast food. An earlier study found a similar proportion of children and adolescents ate fast food on any given day. Well, if you're like me, a quick trip to Target always turns into a full-blown shopping spree, but really it is apparently able to, you're able to shop there and not overspend. And a savings expert has put together some tips for us this morning. Joining us this morning from Kiplingers.com, the online editor there, Andrea Brown Taylor, who's put together some of these tips. Andrea, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is a good story because I think a lot of us go to Target and end up leaving with quite a few more things than we planned on getting when we were there.
Right.
So that's a real thing, right, where we go to Target with a couple of things on the list and somehow they rope us in. Is there a diagnosis for that, or what are we talking about?
You know what? I think, you know, for those of us who are Target-holics, that's what I like to call it. It's just this thing, you know, you go in there with the best intentions. You have the shopping list, you know, you have three or four or five items on it, and you say, oh, I'm going to stick to it. And then you get inside of a store like Target where they have everything from groceries to electronics to clothing items, and it can get overwhelming, and it can get very easy for you to get distracted and to start, you know, making impulse buys, and before you know it, you have a shopping cart full of things that weren't on your list. You know, when you went in there planning to only spend $30 or $40, you walk out and you've spent $150. So it happens to the best of us.
Why is Target so good at accomplishing this?
Well, like I said, they offer a wide variety of products. So you go in there thinking, I'm only going to buy a specific set of items, and then you see something else in a completely different aisle that, you know, you had no idea that you felt like you needed in that moment. So rather than it being something that you necessarily need, it's something that you want. And it kind of just triggers you to make these impulse purchases. And, you know, with these big box retailers in general, their stores by design are very widespread. They're spread out, so you might need something from, you know, the personal care department, but you have to pass five or six other aisles before you get to it. And you might see something in one of those aisles that kind of piques your interest, and you go down there, and before you know it, like I said, you have a cart full of things that you didn't plan on buying.
Well, we want to go through some of the tips to maybe prevent us from doing this, and people can find this at Kiplinger.com. We're going to also link out to it, but 10 ways to save more at Target. One of them is just strategizing more before you go to the store, and give us a sense of how that might work.
Well, yeah, in terms of strategizing, again, you know, make a shopping list. Have, you know, go into the store knowing the specific items that you need. Another good tip that people might want to, you know, adhere to, it may seem a bit over the top, but it's definitely a money-saving strategy, is before you go to Target's website. You can print out a copy of the store map, which gives you a layout of the store. It tells you exactly where each aisle is. So you, when you get there, you know exactly where you need to go. There's no need to wander around the store, which helps eliminate the need to make impulse purchases.
The other thing is using the red card. People should sign up for this, shouldn't they?
Right. So if you're in Target on a pretty regular basis, and by regular basis I mean every week, you definitely might want to consider signing up for Target's red card. And a big reason for this is there are a lot of money-saving incentives. The biggest of them being is that you get a 5% discount on all of your Target purchases. That includes in-store and online purchases. You also get free 2-day shipping when you buy things off of Target.com, and you also get an extended 30-day return on your in-store and online orders. The key here, though, is that if you get the credit card, you can get it in two different ways. You can get a credit card version of it, which means you get a monthly bill, or you can get a debit card version of it, which links to one of your bank accounts. If you opt for the credit card version, you definitely want to make sure that you're able to pay the bill in full and on time each month. Otherwise, you'll get hit with, you know, a steep interest rate and potential late fees that will get tacked onto your bill, and that'll negate the 5% savings that you get on your purchases.
We're on this morning with Andrea Brown Taylor, the online editor at Kiplinger's. We're going to continue with the 10 ways to save at Target. Expert advice from some savings experts. We'll continue with Andrea as the opening bell continues.
From ABC News, Wall Street now. Gains for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, slippage for the NASDAQ Composite and the S&P. The Dow picked up 122 points on Tuesday to close at 26,773. The Standard & Poor's 500 gave up a single point. The NASDAQ was down 37 at 79.99. Toys R Us may be making a comeback. The owners of the retailer's assets have canceled a bankruptcy auction. Court papers obtained by the Wall Street Journal say they're now looking at new concepts for the Toys R Us and Babies R Us brands. A day after Amazon announced a $15 an hour internal minimum wage, analysts say other companies might be looking at their compensation packages or risk losing workers ahead of the holidays. Delta Airlines says Hurricane Florence delivered a multi-million dollar punch to its bottom line. Canceled flights from last month's storm cost the carrier about $30 million. On top of that, jet fuel prices have risen 35% in the last year. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Andrea Brown-Taylor, online editor at Kiplinger's, talking about some of the ways to save more at Target. Her latest piece is called 10 Ways to Save More at Target. And she's been talking to some savings experts about all of this. Andrea, I know sometimes buying in bulk is easy to do, and that'll save some money. But at Target, there's also a gift card involved?
Right. Well, Target is kind of known for these buy-in-bulk, get-a-free gift card deals that they offer from time to time. And a lot of times you'll see that in your weekend, your Sunday paper with the Target circular in there, and it'll tell you which products that they're offering this deal on. And it'll typically be like your household essential items, like your paper towels, toothpaste, toilet tissue, things of that nature. And how that works is that if you buy a certain amount of, say, for instance, you buy two or three rolls of a specific brand of paper towels, you'll get you'll become eligible for a $5 or a $10 free gift card, and you can use that towards a future purchase.
That's a good money savings idea. This is another thing that I didn't realize at Target, but I guess now that I think about it, it's true, because I've noticed it, that at the end of the aisles is where they have items that are on sale, and there's a name for that, isn't there?
Right, it's called the end caps, and this is definitely where Target will put a lot of the items, like you said, the sale items and the clearance items as well, things that they're trying to get rid of. So if you're shopping and you're in a particular aisle, you just want to make sure that you keep an eye out for the ends of each aisle, just to see what they have available. A lot of times you'll find things that could be $1 or $2 cheaper than where you would find them at another store, say, for instance, a drugstore such as CVS or Rite Aid or Walgreens. We went down the oral care aisle when we made a visit to Target, and they had, at the end caps of that aisle, they had different brands of toothpaste, and we compared that to some of the prices that we found at a local CVS, and the toothpaste that they had at the end caps was definitely a dollar cheaper than what we found at the drugstore.
Here's another really good one that I like. If you happen to see that a competitor to Target has a lower price for something, Target will match that sometimes.
Yes, Target definitely has a price matching policy, and you want to keep an eye out for competitor prices for items that you've recently purchased from Target. And if you have up to 14 days to request a price match, and all you have to do is you bring in your receipt and you show a proof of the competitor's lower price. And if you're going in-store, you want to bring that print ad that you saw, and you show it to a service member, and they'll give you the cost difference.
Here's another one, too. Again, we're talking about ways to save more money at Target. This is an idea that now your Target probably has one, mine does, where you can pick up your items after ordering them online. That would be a good way to keep your shopping spree from happening, right?
Exactly. This is something that I do all the time, and this is one of my favorite ways to save when I'm shopping at Target, is what you do is you go online to Target.com, and they have certain items that you can order online and pick up in-store. And in order to find out which items you can order online and pick up in-store, you can use their search functionality to dwindle down the different results. And then all you do is you just throw those items in your shopping cart, select order pickup, and then you can pick them up either later that day or the next day. All you have to do is you go into guest services. You show them your online order confirmation. A service member bags up the items that you've ordered. They give them to you, and you're on your way. So you're in and out of there in 5 minutes. There's no need to, again, wander around the store to get, enticed to pick up something that was not on your list. And it helps keep your costs down, helps you stay on budget.
Most major retailers now have an app for smartphones. Money-saving idea to download the Target app?
Well, yeah, Target's app is definitely something that you might want to check out. They have a free smartphone app. That's a big key here, that it's free. And they offer a lot of exclusive coupons and deals via the cartwheel functionality through that app. And when you're in store, if you pull out the app and you scan a barcode for a particular product, it'll pop up on through the app. It'll show you whether or not that particular product has any special sale promotions or any deals going on. And if it does, you just simply save it to your app. And when you're ready to check out, you present your phone to a cashier who will scan your specific personalized smartphone app barcode, which you will get once you download the app. And any coupons that you have saved will get applied to that transaction.
Use the app to navigate your way through the store so that you don't end up in an aisle that might cost you money.
Exactly. Like I was saying before, is that you can look at a store map so you can see the setup of the store. And it'll tell you, if, for instance, if you're looking for toilet tissue, it'll tell you what aisle the toilet tissue is in, so you can go directly there, and you don't have to, wander around the store to find exactly what you're looking for, because you know where it's at. And a lot of times when people impulse buy and they load up their cart with things that weren't on their shopping list, it's because they're wandering the aisles. They get, distracted, and they see something, and they're like, "Ooh, that looks like something that I would use," and they throw it in their cart, and that's how you end up spending all that money that you didn't plan to.
Let's say we're planning to buy a big item like a television or some other big electronics item. Are there times of the year where that might be cheaper at Target than others?
Yeah, so that is definitely, when you're making a major purchase like a large flat screen TV or a major appliance and you want to do it at Target, that's definitely a purchase that if you can, you should plan ahead to do, because Target has specific sales, particularly during the Black Friday and the Thanksgiving holiday shopping weekends, where things are deeply discounted. So if you can hold out and wait until those times of year, you can get significant discounts compared to other major shopping holidays or just other times of the year where Target may not necessarily be having a sale.
Andrea, I've been kind of keeping tabs here as we've had our conversation, and we're talking about savings of more than just a couple of dollars, aren't we?
We are. You could say, for instance, you have your eye on a particular brand of a television, and it's on sale for maybe $1,200 to $1,500 during the Black Friday shopping weekend. If you're planning ahead and you're strategizing when you want to make these major purchases, you could score that TV for, between $800 to $900, which is a significant savings.
Well, we love to save money, and we appreciate you being with us this morning to give us some tips on how to do that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Andrea Brown Taylor is the online editor at Kiplinger's, and her latest article, 10 Ways to Save at Target. We'll link out to that this morning. You can find her writing at kiplingers.com.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Amazon's announcement yesterday that it'll raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour for its most of its employees will intensify pressure on other companies to lift the pay levels there at their companies as well. Among the most likely to do so, Amazon rival retailers and warehouse operators, many of whom are facing the prospect of staff shortages as they ramp up for the holiday shopping season. And the question is this minimum wage hike by Amazon a real move for employees, or is it a business move against Walmart? Michael Farron is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. He's with us this morning. Michael, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Let's start off with that question because it's an interesting one. How much is this a move for employees rather than it is a business move toward one of those other competitors, let's say like Walmart?
I think the way to understand Amazon's announcement yesterday is in two parts. The first is the announcement that they're raising their starting wage to $15 an hour. That's great news for employees, and it's great news not just for Amazon employees, but for all lower wage workers, because it means that other retailers like Walmart or Target or Costco are going to be facing similar kind of pressures to raise their employees' wages and compensation. The second half, though, and this is the more problematic part, is that Amazon said that they're going to lobby federal government for an increase to the federal minimum wage, and that represents an anti-competitive tactic that economists call raising rivals' costs. because Walmart employs four times as many people as Amazon. And it essentially what it's going to do is it's going to raise the costs for the other big box retailers a lot more than it raises the cost for Amazon. And so in the end, it ends up being a market-improving tactic for Amazon, but it's twisting government authority.
That's an interesting take on that. What kind of money are we talking about? I mean, if you do the math on that, we're talking about potentially billions of dollars in costs.
Absolutely. And it's not just the billions of dollars, it's the difference in the increase of costs. And Amazon has a much greater ability to automate its production and its warehouses than Target or Walmart or the other big boxes. And so what you're going to see is a lower share of labor cost for the total production cost of Amazon's production costs going forward, whereas the other big box retailers have a much more difficult time lowering their labor costs past what they have it right now.
Michael, I think everybody is aware that a lot of these big companies have been the beneficiaries of tax cuts and all kinds of other little bonuses here and there. How much can this really impact one of those other companies, though? And it's arguably all these companies are doing pretty well. Could something like this really be a competitive advantage when it all shakes out?
Absolutely. Even if you're talking simply about lowering the cost of labor by a couple percent differential, say, then if the cost of labor for a business like this is somewhere around 20-30%, say, that could be 2% of the bottom line as a result. So, yeah, it could really actually have a major impact.
When would we see one of those other companies respond to this? I'm guessing it's going to be pretty quickly, because as all of these companies are ramping up holiday shopping season employees, temporary employees, this is going to become a big deal.
It is, and this kind of weighs in on the first half of Amazon's statement, that you might see wages rising at other big box retailers for the coming holiday season. What you won't see is how the other box retailers retaliate and how they try to twist government policy to their own advantage and lock out Amazon. So you might see other retailers try to put restrictions in some way on automation, or they might say that even temporary employees need to be provided with full employee benefits, and so that would be something that would harm Amazon more than it would harm those retailers. So when you see other sort of policy initiatives supported by, or perhaps not publicly supported by, these other retailers, but in the halls of Congress and with lobbyists, essentially, at the end of the day, it's a bad way to compete. The better way to compete is for customers' satisfaction to please politicians or to try to restrict your competitors through anti-competitive means.
If I'm an employee listening to this conversation this morning, I'm probably thinking, okay, let them fight over me. I'm happy to do that if I'm getting a pay raise and maybe even some benefits. Could that be too positive of thinking? I mean, will the benefits be there, or will those negatively backfire on employees as well?
So this is, like I said initially, this is great news for employees, and booming economy and low unemployment has essentially motivated these kind of wage raises over the last few years. Amazon raised its starting wage to $11 an hour in January, Target to $12 later this year, and Costco to $14. So this is when the market is working really well and the economy is booming. These are the benefits of that. And Walmart even is looking at paying college tuition for some of its employees if they get business or logistics degrees that would enable them to climb up the corporate ranks. So, yeah, and this is really good news for employees, but the idea that a company would lobby for the minimum wage with the idea understanding that it's going to raise their rivals more than it raises their own costs is a bad thing for democracy in general.
How much of this do you think came from Bernie Sanders' threat, Senator Bernie Sanders' threat to, I think it was called the Stop Bad Employers by Zeroing Out Subsidies Act, Stop Bezos Act, basically. How much of this was in response to that? Because that bill would have taxed big companies like Amazon with a pretty sizable tax on companies with employees of 500 or more. Do you think any of that, what Amazon has done, is in reaction to that?
I think the messaging behind what Amazon has done is in response to that. I think what Amazon did in raising its starting wage is purely in response to market forces and the increased competition for workers. I think that the messaging that Amazon put behind it and the argument that they're now going to lobby for higher federal minimum wages is to placate political interests and to try to assure people that they are actually a friendly company and that that they shouldn't be worried about Amazon mistreating its workers or underpaying them or anything like that. It's a story that that economists call Baptists and Bootleggers. It's a model of an understanding of the way government regulation comes about, and that you have a moral or ethical argument for a policy that gets subverted by a special interest group who then, or a corporate interest, who stands to gain an economic benefit from the policy. So if you think back to prohibition or to dry counties and wet counties in different states, the ethical or moral group is arguing for a restriction on, in this case, alcohol, out of a moral basis, but the people, the rum runners, or the people who are selling booze in the adjacent county who benefit from the lack of competition also benefit, and they clandestinely support the same sorts of policy initiatives. So it's a tale of unusual bedfellows.
As this progresses along, it's eventually going to, if the motivation is to get some of these wage laws changed, the things that we've been talking about, what kind of atmosphere is Amazon going to come up against in the Congress? I'm guessing that right now will be different from perhaps next year, depending on the midterm elections, but that's going to be an important part of this equation too, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm not a Beltway insider, so I can't tell you too much about the machinations inside of Congress, but I'm sure that this is going to play out in the policy discussions coming up.
All right. Michael, good stuff this morning. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Michael Farron is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Washington University. You can find more at mercatus.org.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're looking for a positive open on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Everything's up about 0.25%. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures are up about 20. S&P futures are up about 7. Gold and silver also trading higher this morning as well. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Corn and soybean futures firmed for a second day yesterday. Expectations for improved demand and a threat of rainy weather that could stall harvesting in much of the Midwest. But futures jumped sharply on Monday on news of the newly negotiated U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the replacement for NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. And at the end of the market day yesterday, a surge in wheat prices also helped the corn and soybean market. December wheat up 10¾ cents for the day. December corn up 1¾. November soybeans up 9¼ cents for the day. Turning to livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, for the third day in a row, live cattle futures moved higher. The most active December contract up 52 cents at $119.47 a hundredweight. Feeder cattle gained 17 cents a hundredweight. And the October live hogs up $1.67. December hogs, on the other hand, dropped 70 cents for the day. And at the end of the day, December lean hogs down 67 cents, but October live cattle up 15, and October feeder cattle up 17. Busy day at World Dairy Expo in Madison today. Some of the highlights: International Jersey Show, the International Milking Shorthorn Show, the International Brown Swiss Show, the Top of the World Jersey Sale, the World Ayrshire Event Sale, and Dinner with the Stars Recognition Banquet. We'll be up there. See you there. And that's your money on 720 WGN.
Thanks, Ori. And a couple more stories before we leave you this morning. A human trafficking survivor from Texas has filed a lawsuit against Facebook, alleging the social media giant provides traffickers an unrestricted way to stalk, exploit, recruit, groom, and extort children into the sex trade. The lawsuit was filed in Houston against Facebook, the shuttered classified site Backpage as well, and the owners of two Houston hotels. The lawsuit seeks $1 million in damages on behalf of a woman identified as Jane Doe, who was 15 years old when she was sexually assaulted in 2012 after being allegedly targeted and recruited by a sex trafficker on Facebook. Facebook has not commented on the lawsuit. Legal and trafficking experts say it may be difficult for the lawsuit to show that Facebook knowingly facilitated human trafficking. U.S. regulators have approved a modernized version of a decades-old antibiotic used to treat a number of infections. Paratek Pharmaceuticals, the drug called Nuzyra, was designed to overcome the problem of resistance to tetracycline, an antibiotic widely used until recent years. The company says the Food and Drug Administration approved Nuzyra for treating bacterial pneumonia and severe skin infections. Paratek plans to launch the antibiotic early next year, initially for use in hospitals. It hasn't disclosed the price. About 2 million Americans get infections from antibiotic-resistant bacteria each year, and nearly 23,000 of those die, according to the Centers for Disease Control. The owner of China's largest music streaming services is looking to strike it rich in the U.S. stock market. Tencent Music Entertainment plans to sell its stock in the U.S. as part of an initial public offering. The IPO documents that were filed yesterday proposed raising nearly $1 billion, but the preliminary figure often ends up being substantially higher. Investor demand is likely to be high, given the rising popularity of music streaming and Tencent's success so far. Tencent says its services have more than 800 million users, including 23.3 million who pay money to listen to its music library. It's also profitable, having earned about $199 million in revenue and $1.66 billion last year. Tencent's major shareholders include the leading music streaming service Spotify, which went public earlier this year. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, October the 3rd. A report on crude inventory set to be released at about 9:30 Chicago time today, the EIA Petroleum Status Report. We'll also see the Mortgage Bankers Association data on mortgage applications for the week. The ADP Employment Report is due out. We'll get a look at how many jobs have been created over the last month ahead of the big jobs report on Friday, the government jobs report. The PMI Services Index is out. The ISM Non-Manufacturing Index is out. And quite a few Fed speakers out today, including Chicago's Charles Evans, Patrick Harker, Tom Barkin, and Loretta Mester. And on the earnings calendar, Lennar will release earnings before the opening bell. Pier 1 Imports will follow after the close. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, October 3rd. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. I'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN and in the Steve Cochran Show, which is next. And I'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.